Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
Oh, well, good morning, everyone. Good to be with you today. So you've probably heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me. Do you believe that? That words can't hurt us? Of course not, because all of us have been hurt by someone's harsh tone or unkind words. And the reality is, our tone of voice and words spoken have the power to encourage or discourage, to inspire or undermine, to build up or tear down, to heal or to wound. Or as it says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Now, our lives have been marked and shaped by words spoken to us, over us, about us. Words and their tone have shaped our childhood, our teenage years, our friendships, our marriages, maybe even misshaped our marriage. So the words we choose and the tone that we use matter. Now, we've been in a series these last 7 weeks on the values that drive us as a church community. And the final core value that we're going to talk about today is how grace is our tone. How grace is our tone. Now, we've all been on the receiving end of a harsh tone or words spoken out of anger or disapproval. We all know how that feels. But we also know what it feels like to be affirmed and appreciated and loved through words. And we tend to be quick to realize the impact that the words of others have had on our lives, for better or worse. Okay, but we are often slow to realize that our words and our tone have equal impact on the lives of others. I read an article recently that workers in the hospitality industry are leaving their jobs at the highest rate we've seen in decades. And it's largely because of rude customers. Okay? Some workers saying they would not return, no amount of pay would get them to return. And this isn't unique to service industries. Many studies show that a toxic corporate culture is by far the strongest predictor of employee turnover. A tone of disrespect and disregard and disparagement has become so common. And so common that there are some people, have you seen this before, who pride themselves on this manner of speaking, thinking their tell it like it is attitude or insulting tone kind of distinguishes them as a strong and righteous person. Now, about a month ago, I had the incredible opportunity of going on the MCC student mission trip to West Virginia. It was awesome. I was so encouraged to see our students serving and giving of their time so generously, so selflessly. It was amazing. And as we were driving back from West Virginia, we stopped at a gas station. And in that gas station, I noticed this rack full of bumper stickers, okay? One of them said, "Warning, I have no filter." Okay, and so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, all right, let me get this straight. I am to buy this bumper sticker and proudly display it on my vehicle, or maybe hang it up at work somewhere and kind of announce to everyone around me that I have no control over my mouth. And so therefore, I am not responsible for anything I say that might hurt or offend you, because I have no filter. That's who I am, and you've been warned, okay? So let's look at another one. All right, I don't have road rage. You're just an idiot. Okay, wow. Again, I'm thinking, okay, I'm to buy this sticker and display this on my car and essentially say that I'm determining in advance that you are at fault for any poor choices that I make, because clearly you're the problem and not me. Okay, let's look at another one. Warning, I'm not a person you should put on speakerphone. And that one kind of made me laugh a little, but again, the implication here is that since I can't control my mouth, I'm just going to say whatever it is that I say with no regard for who might hear me. Okay, now let's look at another one. Last one. Warning, my sense of humor might hurt your feelings. This one kind of struck me because we've all seen this, right? That in an attempt to be funny, we can put others down. It tends to come out in a sarcastic tone, followed by a justification of, I'm just joking, right? I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. So the implication being, you're too sensitive. You're the issue, not my inconsiderate tone. And we can start to blame the person that we hurt with our words. And now, these are silly bumper stickers, okay? I get it. We can kind of laugh at them, but the sad reality is, I think this is representative of a larger issue in our culture, and that is how easily we can become careless and even reckless with our words and our tone toward others. And you know, this should bother all of us, right? But for those of us who consider ourselves a Christian, a Christ follower, this should not only bother us, this should be unacceptable, because we all know that we have the power to speak life or death, and we as Christians are commanded to be people who encourage one another, who honor one another, who forgive one another. Which means that grace is our tone always, because we don't just represent ourselves, we represent Jesus. And I am more accountable for speaking in a manner that benefits the person on the other side of me. That is what our faith requires of us. And so a tone of grace is the mark of a true disciple of Jesus. A tone of grace is the identifying mark of a true disciple of Jesus. It's how we model and share the gospel. And so in his first century letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul reminds his listeners of the new command of Jesus, that we are to love people the way Jesus loves us. He writes, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now, you get to choose whether or not you follow Jesus, right? That's up to you. But once you choose to follow Jesus, the way of grace and love is prescribed to you. It's a command. It is defined and modeled for us by Jesus all the way through the Gospels. It's why a tone of grace should characterize Christ followers, because we know that we have the power to speak life or death, the power to draw someone toward Jesus with our words and our tone, or push them away with our careless words. How we communicate through our tone of voice will either help or hurt our mission, which is to love our neighbors and share the gospel. Now, Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Now, two words stand out to me in this passage: always and everyone. Okay, showing grace to all people at all times. And then there's this phrase, seasoned with salt, meaning our conversations should do what salt does. Salt heals, salt restores, salt preserves, and salt adds flavor. And so our conversations should impact our relationships for the better, especially with those who don't yet know Christ. So what exactly is grace? Well, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey writes, "While every other religion offers a way to earn approval, only Christianity dares to make God's love unconditional." And so grace can't be earned. We don't do something to get it. Grace is an undeserved and unconditional gift. Grace is a second chance. And so this concept of unconditional grace, it's so challenging for us because we are conditional people. Okay, we want others to earn our respect or win our acceptance. Our human nature wants to see the guilty punished. But God gives unconditional acceptance and unmerited grace to all who will receive it. Now, grace is a term that occurs over 100 times in the New Testament. And while Jesus rarely used the term, he modeled grace time and time again. But perhaps nowhere more dramatically than in John 8, 1 through 11, when he's interrupted early in the morning while teaching in the temple. A group of Pharisees, or self-righteous religious leaders of the day and teachers of the law, barge in on his class. They push a terrified woman in front of Jesus. She had been caught guilty of adultery. Now, following the custom of the day, the woman is shamed, she's humiliated, and she is cowering before Jesus, alone, despite the fact that adultery involves two people. But only one was held accountable. And now, Jewish law specified death by stoning for anyone, male or female, caught in adultery. But Roman law forbid the Jews from carrying out executions. And so the Pharisees think they have Jesus caught between these two conflicting laws. And since they only brought one person to Jesus, it seems as though they aren't as concerned with punishing this woman as much as they are hoping to trap Jesus and to reveal him as a heretic, so they have justification to condemn him. Will he let this adulteress off the hook and break the law of Moses? So the Pharisees, ask Jesus in John 8:5, "Now what do you say?" And now, rather than respond, Jesus bends down to write on the ground. But the Pharisees in John 8:7 kept on questioning him. He straightened up and he said to them, listen closely, this is what he says. "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Can you imagine this scene? Okay, Jesus's words spoken firmly, no doubt, but with a tone of grace just hang in the air. And then one by one, these religious leaders slip away, dropping their stones to the ground. And when it's just Jesus and the woman standing there, no more accusers to be found, verse 10 tells us, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she responds, "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Now, Jesus doesn't condone her sin, but he doesn't condemn her either. Jesus gives grace to the humble woman and truth to the prideful Pharisees. And yet still she is commanded to turn away from sin. So he said the hard thing, but in the process is lifted up and given a chance for new life. When you study the life of Jesus, you will find life-changing grace offered over and over again toward a tax collector, a Roman soldier, an adulterer, and so many others who are marginalized by society. But Jesus, the personification of grace, acknowledges sin, but chooses to see beyond it. He chooses to see the person, not just their behavior. And so we as Christians are called to follow his example. And so what prevents us so often from extending the grace that we've received? Well, two thoughts. One, we are prone to judge. And number two, we tend to be forgetful. Now, number one, judgmentalism or a self-righteous attitude is a non-starter for faith conversations, okay? A non-starter. And this was actually proven to be true in a recent Barna study that surveyed U.S. teens and adults who are non-Christian. They were asked this question, imagine a Christian you would be interested in learning from, okay? Which of the following characteristics would you use to describe them? And the top response is that they would listen, this Christian that they want to learn from would listen without judgment. What if we, as followers of Christ, could simply listen without judgment and be honest about doubts, not force a conclusion? What if we truly care about another as a person, as Jesus did, instead of just caring about their behavior? Imagine how much more receptive people would be to faith conversations. Imagine how people would be drawn to Christ's character in us, the fruit of his spirit. And they would wonder what makes us different than all the other voices in our culture. Carrie Newhoff says, very few people get judged into life change. Far more get loved into it. The presence of judgment almost always guarantees an absence of love. I love that quote. And now secondly, something that prevents us from extending grace is simply forgetfulness, right? We often forget how much grace we've been given. Lisa Turkhurst sums it up well by saying, it's easier to give grace when I remember how much I need grace. So what does grace sound like? Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, not our needs, their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. And now, Paul's point here is not just to be nice. His point is to be beneficial. That when you leave a conversation, whether it's a positive or a negative one, the other person should be built up. They should be benefited. They should feel valued. And now you might be thinking, but is that even possible in all situations? I mean, what if I have to have a tough conversation at work or at school? Can I even parent that way? Can I conduct a performance review that way? And the answer is yes, you can. And it's a very simple strategy that Carrie Newhoff calls the affirmation sandwich. Okay? You first begin with praise. Okay? I appreciate this about you. And then second, deal with the issue directly. All right? There's something I need to address. There's something we need to talk about. Deal with the issue directly. And then end with affirmation. But I know that we'll get through this together. And so now prior to this conversation, hopefully there's been a foundation of trust and respect that has already been established so that when we need to say the hard things, the other person can receive it, trusting that we have their best interest in mind. Because negative comments can wound when they are not the exception. Okay, negative comments can wound when they are not the exception. And so I encourage all of us to go a little overboard on encouragement when possible, so that when we need to say the hard things, we can do that when needed. Now, words of encouragement and a tone of grace come so naturally for some of us. And for others of us, this can feel forced. It can feel uncomfortable. And so we kind of hold back. But if you are a Christian, if you are a Jesus follower, this is part of the heart transformation that was promised to you and provided for you when you committed your life to Christ. And it's so important that grace is our tone always, because we don't just represent ourselves, we represent Jesus. And as we close, how do we do this? Okay? How do we speak with a tone of grace? I'll offer two thoughts. Number one, remember God's grace in your life. Okay, remember his grace. And then number two, stay open-minded toward others. C.S. Lewis once said, to be Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. And the true and lasting remedy to judgmentalism or a self-righteous attitude is remembering and receiving the grace of God that's been given to you. And when you live into that God-given grace, your perspective will change and you will find freedom, which then allows us to live out the second point, which is to stay open-minded toward others. Because an open mind and a curious spirit eliminates those snap judgments and that criticism, and it begins to create space for grace. And if you think about it, almost every evaluation that we make about others usually arises from incomplete information. And then we kind of fill in the gaps with our judgments, right? But curiosity opens our mind to the possibility that there is something about this situation that I don't fully understand, okay? And so before we jump to conclusions about another person, I want to challenge all of us, myself included, all of us, to ask this question. I wonder what's happening in their life that I don't know about. It's a very simple question. I wonder what's happening in their life that I don't know about. This question puts judgments on hold and just gives the opportunity for grace to enter the situation. And it allows us to begin to replace condemnation with the undeserved and unconditional gift of grace as our tone, putting us significantly closer to living and loving like Jesus. Because a tone of grace is the mark of a true disciple of Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, help us to be people who speak with a tone of grace, people who choose helpful and healing words that testify to the kind of relationship we have with you. Lord, we ask for a renewed spirit of grace this morning that we can extend to others. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.